is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM, ask the GM back to the normal time. No Thursday night football anymore for us, as the Titans and the Jags, unfortunately, played last Thursday.
Yes,
although I'm
did.
Excited about the Thursday night game tonight. Packers and Eagles on Fox. So they play Tampa, Carolina, and Titans, Jags on NFL Network. No national TV. And then now it's Packers, Eagles. Yeah, we'll put that one on Fox. So that's how they're going about it. So the weekend starts now. Got one line open for Ask the GM, but it is time for the people to talk to Floyd.
When the GM speaks,
a little bit of the personality.
Everybody listens.
They understand every situation.
And we're giving you exclusive access to Pick the Brain of former Titans GM Floyd Reese.
Brought to you by Pella Windows of Nashville and Bob's Steak and Chop House.
Call 615-737-1025 now.
You're never going to make a mistake.
This is Ask the GM.
Ask the GM is presented by Bob Steak and Chop House and Bella Windows in Nashville. The best call for the GM. Won a pair of 3-8 passes to the Exit 111 Festival in Manchester Friday, October 11th through Sunday, October 13th. We go right to the phones. Jarrett is going to start us off here on Ask the GM. Jarrett, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Hey, real quick, guys. I wanted to find out, okay, the question is this. We've had high-picked quarterbacks. GM, we've had, you know, Marcus at number 2, Vince was in the top 5, and even Locker was top 10. Isn't it time now to think differently and think outside the box and maybe get your quarterback in the lower half of the first round, maybe even second round? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is the Tom Brady syndrome, which is, you know, people look at Tom Brady and they say, you know, here's a 6th-round guy that's the best quarterback that's ever played. But the truth is, if you go throughout the league and look at quarterbacks, the top, you know, the vast majority of top quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks, let's say, are first-rounders. I mean, that's kind of where it's coming from. The fact that you find guys that are a second, third, 6th-round guys that are playing and playing well in the league, I think is more a fault of the scouting system. And generally speaking, you know, something happened in college to these kids. Like Brady, you know, Brady just had a tough time remaining a starter at Michigan. He kind of went back and forth, and every time they would bring somebody in that the coach thought was a little bit better, Tom would get benched. And all Tom would do is come in at the end of the game and win all the games. So, you know, he got kind of a bad rap that way. And I think that's generally true with a bunch of these guys that get drafted later. But, I mean, if you look at, you know, I mean, the Rosen at Miami and, you know, and Atlanta and Baltimore and New York and, you know, you can go Buffalo and across the league and look at all these teams and all their quarterbacks are first round guys. Doesn't mean they're all great players, but the vast majority of guys are first rounders.
I mean, I think you can still get a guy, though, later in the draft than number 2 and then be pretty good. I mean, Mahomes was the 3rd quarterback off the board. Rodgers, you know, went in the 20s. Like, I'm not saying that you, like, to me, I sometimes think it's overrated to go up to number 2 to get Ryan Leaf.
Yeah, I mean, if you're getting Ryan Leaf, you're right. But you don't go up to 2 to get Ryan Leaf. You know, you go up to 2 to get whoever you think is the best guy there. And even though I'm aware that there are guys down the line that end up being quarterbacks in the league, but
Dak,
generally that is not the rule. And if you think you're going into a draft and you're going to draft a quarterback in the 3rd round and he's going to be a player for you, you're going to be sad when it's all said and
done. I so disagree with this take. I don't think it has to be the first quarterback off the board. It can be the 22nd pick, the 17th pick. Can be, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger was the 3rd quarterback off the board. He's the best of that trio that went out that year. Mahomes, 3rd quarterback off the board. Rodgers, 2nd quarterback off the board. Who'd you rather have, Alex Smith or Aaron Rodgers? I'll take Aaron Rodgers. I don't know why it's played out that way, but You know, the first quarterback off the board is not always the best quarterback. I mean, think about this. Atlanta traded a puttload of picks to San Diego to move up to number one to take Michael Vick. San Diego took LaNadainian Tomlinson in the first round. They took Drew Brees in the second round. They took the better quarterback, the Hall of Fame quarterback, in the second round. Atlanta took theirs. Dak Prescott, fourth round. I think they come in all different shapes and sizes.
I'm aware it happens. But again, if you're going to draft a guy in the third or fourth round and think he's going to come in and be a quarterback for you, you are sadly mistaken.
Let's go to Rodney, who's up next. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Rodney.
Yeah, GM, this is Rodney. Thanks for taking my call. I got a question for you, though.
Yes.
Mariota had played quarterback 2 years at Oregon, right?
At least, yeah.
Played longer than that.
Okay. He's always been about 80% in the shotgun, and Tom Brady's about 80% in the shotgun. Why are we using more of him in the shotgun than we are him up underneath the center?
You know, it's funny, and I think it depends largely on what it is you're going to do with the ball. And if you try to run the ball a bunch in shotgun, the variety of plays you run is limited. If you get underneath the center, the variety of plays you run is maximized. And so what happens is you get guys, I think if you're playing a team and they are going to have a running back that's a legit running back, Dallas, you look at Dallas, you look at even Rivers and when Gordon's there and they're playing, you look at places that have those style running backs run more underneath the center. Now, it doesn't mean they don't run shotgun too, because we know they do, and so do we. But I think, generally speaking, the run-oriented teams are going to be the teams that will have less shotgun. True pass like Mahomes, I don't know if Mahomes ever lines up underneath the center because he's going to throw it all the time. Tom Brady, Tom will line up underneath the center a little bit, but, I mean, he's probably 80-85% in shotgun of some sort.
Why don't the Titans just go to the shotgun all the time? Can Derrick Henry not run out of the shotgun?
I mean, your number of plays you can run is limited. What are you going to run? I mean, everything is a draw, yeah. I mean, that's so.
I mean, you can't run like a counter out of the shotgun, can you?
You can go this way and then go. The timing is tough, but you can't run any of the power stuff.
Can you run the run and shoot out of the shotgun? Isn't that fully out of the shotgun?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Call up Gilbride. Let's go to the run and shoot.
He'd be ready.
Isn't he the GM in the XFL right now?
I don't know if he's a GM or head coach, but he is something in the XFL. So, I think it's a New York team.
Probably can't get him. 615-737-1025. Ask the GM. Robert is up next. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, Robert. You're on with the GM.
Hey, Floyd.
How are you?
I'm good, man. Listen to y'all every day.
Thank you.
So here's my question. Put your GM hat on. If you were the GM of the Titans, what would you do? Where would you start as far as fixing our problems? Just where would you go as far as what would you start at first?
Well, good question.
Right guard.
I think the team, and this is. The pluses of being in a place for a while, like with J-Rob or with Vrabel or with, you know, you can go into a draft like this next draft, and I'm not saying they will do this, but, I mean, if our defense continues to play the way that it's been playing, and you can say, you know what, we could go this draft and not draft a single defensive guy. We can spend all our draft choices on offensive guys. And you go through and, you know, there are a bunch of positions that are eliminated. At the end of this year, they'll go through, for example, on offense, they'll go through the receiving core. And I think decisions are going to have to be made on a bunch of these guys. They're going to have to be made on Sharp. They're going to have to be made on, say, Jennings or somebody like that.
Get your option on Davis.
And pick up Davis's option or not, whatever you're going to do. So, I mean, I think you've got those kind of the biggest weakness we have on the team right now is the offensive line, And the hard part is, you know, in the NFL, if you don't have an offensive line, it just about cripples everything that you want to do from the standpoint of, you know, you can't run the ball effectively, or you can't run the ball the way you want, and you certainly can't throw the ball effectively or throw it the way you want. So the whole time is spent trying to do something that isn't necessarily the thing you want to do because you don't have a lot of options. It's that or nothing. And so you're calling plays and almost second guessing yourself all the time because you're saying, you know what? I don't really like this play. I'm not really crazy about it, but I know we won't make a mistake and I know we'll get it blocked. Okay, here you go. Well, the problem is when you start thinking like that, guess what? The defense is already thinking like that. And now all of that becomes a problem. So, but I would start with the offensive line, obviously.
I need you to go back and help them with the offensive line. We've been over this.
They'll get it.
J-Rob cannot find Gennaro DiNapoli like Floyd Reese could. Tom Ackerman, Zach Piller, Benji Olson, John Runyon.
I had forgotten about Ackerman until we went to Zach's bar the other day, and he was a picture, and I had to think a second. Now,
the one in the bathroom?
Who? I don't know where it was.
It was the Toys for Tots, and it had the offensive lineman from, like, I remember, like, we donated toys and got, like, posters like that or whatever, and it was the offensive lineman donating toys, and Tom Ackerman was, same picture as I'm in the bathroom, I'm looking at it thinking, that's Tom Ackerman.
Yeah. Well, I had to think, I saw him and looked at him, and I go, now I remember him. What was his name? And then, you know, finally came to me.
Tom Ackerman actually started, I think, for Zach Piller on a Monday night football game against the defending world champion Patriots with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady on Monday night football. Titans beat them that year in 2002. Let's load up the phones. Get me another batch of calls for the GM. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Ask the GM is presented by Bob Steak at Chop House and Pella Windows of Nashville. The MTSU Blue Raider football team is back in action this Saturday, taking on the Iowa Hawkeyes. Kickoff is at 11 on ESPN 1025 The Game and on 97.5 in the Borough, live from the wholesaling studio powered by RumbleOn.com. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 1025 The Game. Ask the GM, presented by Bob Steak and Chop House and Pella Windows in Nashville. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to get in with the GM, I have gone to my car and gotten my jacket because it is maybe 5 degrees in the studio today.
A little brisk in here.
Ooh, it is cold. Like, I'm putting my hands in my pockets. So, Ian, you might have to punch him in on the phones because I'm so cold in here, I put my hands in my pockets in order to... I'll handle that one. Let's go right back to your phones. As always on Ask the GM, Brad is up next on Ask the GM. Brad, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Good afternoon, Floyd. I was wondering if you were sitting in John Robinson's seat this week and you got wind of Delanie Walker's comments in the locker room about how the team is handling the 1-2 start in his opinion now versus when he was a rookie, I guess in San Francisco, I believe is where he started. What would you do? Would you call in Mike Vrabel and try and gauge the temperature of the locker room or find out what might be going on? Would you call in Delanie Walker and talk to him personally to see what he thinks should be happening? How would you handle that as the GM? Or would you just dismiss it and think that it's a frustrated player? I'm really curious to hear what you have to say.
You know, it's interesting because a guy like Delanie, and we were talking about this before, Delaney's one of those guys that is a leader. You know, he's one of those guys that those players look up to because he's been in the league a long time. He's been there, and he's performing at a high level. And so he kind of earns the respect of the locker room. I think when those guys start talking, And most of the time, it's very, very positive, very good, or it's frank, truthful, and everybody knows that that's a fact. May not be the prettiest thing he could say, but everybody understands and believes it. When you start talking about things like, you know, the way it was in the past and the way we did it then, and, you know, I'm not sure you ever win at those things. And consequently, you have to be careful about what you say only because you're going to offend somebody, you're going to offend some of the younger guys, or I think you're going to get yourself labeled. You know, the old man, hey, don't get on his grass, that kind of stuff. And so it's kind of a delicate balance. I think I would call him in and just remind Delaney that, you know, he's so good when he wants to be positive. And he needs to remain that way. And I'm not sure criticizing other generations or anybody else is anything that's going to be real, real positive. If, in fact, there is a specific player or two that bothers you along those lines, I think that's one of those where Delaney needs to walk over to his locker and say, hey, you know what? You need to be a little bit more concerned about this 1-2 record. You know, you need to show a little bit more of a response along the lines of not being happy. 1-2 is not a party.
So I would just say that anytime you say something like that, even though he's 100% right, it just comes a little bit off as, back in May, Jay, what we used to do was we used to roast Nichols for 45 years. And, you know, like I said, and like, I'm not saying he's wrong. Even I feel that now. Like, I look at the younger generation today and I think, man, I'm so glad I didn't grow up when Instagram was a thing when I was 11. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And but you know, you go tell an 11-year-old, man, I didn't have a cell phone until I was 14. And they'll look at you like, shut up, Paw. You know, like that's kind of how I guess. And Delaney's probably in a similar situation. Kids are more sensitive today. Vrabel was asked about it today, and he said it was a societal thing more than it was a football thing.
Oh, I promise you.
And I mean, I remember, like, it's funny because I'm younger than a lot of people, but I am not young anymore. Now, I'm 30 today, so I'm young. I'm not young anymore. But, like, the difference between, like, the kids today and me and, like, my generation, that's a different generation. You know, we're not the same as the college and high school kids. The transfer portal kids that don't ever stick anything out, that's not us now. That's a new society. Mark is up next. Mark, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese. Stop your chuckling.
Hey. I'm sure glad we have air conditioning today instead of warming our hands by candlelight. But I want to make a statement that I'm as worried at center as I am right guard. But I wanted to ask you, Floyd, what would you do after LaJuan comes back? Would you shift Kelly into right guard, or would you shift him out to tackle and move Conklin in? And I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. I don't think there's any doubt but that Kelly is one of the best five offensive linemen that you have. And therein lies the problem, you know, and actually a couple of problems, simply because if, in fact, you move him to guard, well, now your starting guard is also your backup tackle, which means that, you know, if in fact, God forbid, a tackle goes down, now you're having to move two people and you know, be weaker at two positions. So, you know, therein lies a problem. I mean, the most natural from a body type standpoint is for Conklin to move into guard and Kelly play the right tackle. Now, that being said, you know, Conklin's not going to want to move into guard. I mean, he's going to want to remain a tackle, and I'm sure if you ask him, he would tell you he is a tackle.
And at that point, your right guard becomes your backup tackle still, too.
So, yeah, a good point. You know, same thing going the other way. So, I mean, it's you know, they're missing a body or two, and it's really, really hurting them. Missing, you know, starter, I think we all feel, you know, for sure about that. But because they don't have the depth they need along the offensive line, you're talking about the guy that you want to play someplace else can't play there because he's your backup at, you know, place A. And if he's the backup, maybe you don't want him to start. Or if he does start, now you don't have a backup tackle. What are you going to do now? And, I mean, it's just all kinds of problems. And it's one of those things that all you can do is try to, you know, get the right people in the right places and work it out. And the coaches have got to do a great job of protecting them. You know, it's the only thing you can do. And it dramatically limits what you want to do on offense.
I think we have to hold our hands and pray that Nate Davis, who I think is going to start Sunday at Atlanta, is actually good, even though he played tackle at Charlotte last year and has practiced maybe five times in the NFL. That we have to pray that when he gets in there that he can play.
Can you imagine the first couple of years? The last game he played was in Charlotte.
And he's got Grady Jarrett.
And this guy, they're going to line up there, and he's going to look over, and the guy's going to be frothing at the mouth. He's going to be going, oh, my God, what did I get into
here? Didn't Grady Jarrett sign for like $60 million? Like the guy in front of him's got like $60 million. Cedric. Go ahead, Cedric.
Jared, I almost thought, listen to you talk about Joe Burrow, baby. You get ready to say burn for Burrow. I almost thought it, but you didn't.
He's not even Mel Kiper's top 25, Cedric.
Well, Kiper doesn't know what he's talking about. No, you got to listen to me when it comes to quarterback. I'm just kidding, Jared. I'm just kidding. All right, so Floyd, the best part about our team is our defense, right?
Right now, I
just looked it up. We were number three in the league last year. And John Robinson has an opportunity to draft a dynamic playmaker last year in the draft here. And he drafts a guy that can't even play on the best part of your football team. He had a chance to draft Hollywood Brown, who right now has 14 catches for 282 yards. Floyd, my question to you is John Robinson allergic to drafting playmakers? I want to know what John Robinson's daggum wonder look is, because he ain't drafting no playmakers. I got to go, man. Let me know, Floyd.
Thank you, Cedric.
Wonderlick. I love it. And this is part of the problem you run into when you're drafting. And I've been there myself. But let me just give you an example. And I have no idea if this actually happened, but I wouldn't be surprised. You know, you get to the second round, you can't pass the DT in the first round. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, you get to the second round and you're thinking to yourself, I've got to get an offensive lineman here. I've got to get an offensive lineman here. I've got to get, and it's getting down to your spot and you've got a chance to pick an offensive lineman. And then, you know, you look back at the board and here's this receiver that you had rated 20 picks earlier, keeps falling and falling and falling, and he gets to you and you say to yourself, you know what? We had him rated as the 25th best player in the draft, and he's sitting there at 50. You know, we just can't pass him up. And you end up doing that, which is the right move from a draft standpoint. But then you say, okay, now, you know, the offensive lineman that might have been your right guard, that might have saved, you know, all these issues, is you're hoping you can get in the third round. And we don't know what we got in the third round because we can't even find the guy. So I think that's the kind of stuff you go through in the draft, and it makes it really, really hard. And that's why it's so much easier when you get to a point that you have part of what you're trying, part of your team stable. And you say, okay, I know I don't need to worry about those areas, because now you can manipulate the draft. You can go in there and you can say, okay, I'm looking for guards. Let's just throw that out. I'm going to draft three guards. Okay. You know, the best guard in the draft, generally speaking, on a draft, you know, the best guard in the draft, he might not go till 20. So you say, okay, I'm sitting here at 15. Well, I know I can drop five spots, pick up some choices, and still end up with who I think is the best guard in the league. And I think that gives you the opportunity, because you know what you're looking for, that you now work the draft instead of the draft working you.
Let's get one last one in for Ask the GM. Russ is up next. Russ, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Hey, Mr. GM, sir. I got a problem with Mariota because, you know, everybody keeps talking about bringing in a new quarterback. I don't think he's capable of training a new quarterback. And I think a coach they need to get is some kind of quarterback whisperer. I'll take it off the line for you.
Thank you. Go ahead, Flynn.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think I think they think they've got one. I don't know that for sure, but I think they, you know, they have confidence in him. And the hard part, I mean, we all want Marcus to do so much and be so much and, you know, do so well. Because let's face it, I mean, nobody can say anything bad about Marcus as a human being. And nothing would be better than to have him be your franchise guy and be that quality guy you're looking for. But he needs work. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I'll say this for him. He never, ever denies that. When people say, what do you need to do to improve? He'll, you know, I need to do a bunch of things. I've got to do this and this and this. And so he's always looking to do it. So you got to hand that to him, too.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you missed your opportunity to get in on Ask the GM next Thursday at 5 o'clock, will be your opportunity. You know where we'll be next Thursday at 5 o'clock, Floyd Reese?
Next Thursday at 5 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't.
Bridgestone Arena season opener against
the
Minnesota.
Yeah.
So get excited about that. Coming up next, though, we haven't talked about the Atlanta Falcons yet. What about them Atlanta Falcons? We'll discuss and why Floyd has to just be so worried. That's coming up next. Hey, speaking of the Predators, join the Game Nashville at the second annual Preds Fest on Sunday, September 29th from 2 to 6. There will be Preds player appearances, live entertainment, a used equipment sale, fun for the whole family. Stop by our tent to win some awesome prizes and game gear. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
By far the most experienced quarterback you've faced so far this year. Where do you think his experience will show up that maybe you haven't encountered yet?
Well, I mean, I think that when they've been down, I've noticed that, you know, there's really not a panic. I think from Matt, they just kind of, you know, get into their offense, and whether they have to go on the ball or they have to go tempo, I think he's in very good command of what that offense looks like based on the game, whether they're behind or whether they need a huge play at the end of the game, and the Eagles – he got him into a great play and got the ball to Julio, and he was able to score.
Mike Vrabel talking about Matt Ryan and the Atlanta Falcons. Falcons favored by 4. And usually when the Titans play, we start on Wednesday on the next team. Start on Wednesday on the Colts. Started Wednesday on the Jags, although that, you know, we had one day to really talk about the Jags, and then we were right to the Jags game. But we usually start on Wednesday. Every now and then, the Titans will play a team that is good enough for us to start talking about on Tuesday. And by good enough, I mean a popular team. Dallas, New England, Green Bay, etc. When they play the popular teams, we can spend 4 days talking about the popular teams. Cleveland. I think we spent 4 days talking about Cleveland. Like, we can do that, except some teams, we can't even start on Wednesday. And for some reason, I find this Atlanta team, even though Atlanta's got everything you'd want, right? Like, that would make them a popular team. They're a big market team, and they have stud players on that team. Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, Grady Jarrett, Deion Jones. They got players. They got a dopey coach. Mike Mularkey is on their coaching staff. Like, there's a lot of things to look at in this Falcon game. Now, we've talked about Mularkey a little bit, but we have not jumped into Atlanta at all. And I know Atlanta's got to be scaring the daylights out of you, Floyd Reese, because when you read about Atlanta and you see the final scores on Atlanta, it's usually not very pretty, and you leave yourself wondering, like, why is Atlanta 1-2 and getting down by 20 or whatever it was to the Colts the other day when they've got all these good players?
Yeah, I mean, now they came back against the Colts, but they've got some solid players, and it's a little bit scary from the standpoint that you can look, and we talk about this all the time, you look at guys on a team and you say, okay, who really scares you? Who is it that really is a concern? And you can look at this team and you can come up with a whole handful of guys. And I think that's the scary part. And right now, most of them are on offense, but that's not taking anything away from their defense, because their defense, even though their safeties are just beat to heck again, but they're not big up front, not as big up front, but they're more like Indy on defense. Mm-hmm. they kind of do the same kinds of things, play the same kind of scheme, play it better than Indy does, but same kind of scheme. And up front, they're kind of the same. They've got all these pass rush guys that are gazelles, that are fast, that can run. And therein, you know, is one of the concerns for me. Because I'm not sure how we would do with, I mean, they've got two legitimate outside pass rushers, and then they've got Jarrett inside, who is, you know, and you know where he's going to be lined up. So that becomes a problem. You know, the quarterback is an MVP. Julio Jones is arguably the best receiver in the NFL. Sanu is... is a real, real solid second. I mean, every game he goes into, he's going to make two or three plays where you go, wow. I mean, that guy is a good player. And then they've got the little Ridley guy who is just a jet.
He's a touchdown machine, too.
Every time he goes downfield and the ball goes in the air, you know, chances are pretty high it's going to be a touchdown. So, you know, you look at that group and you think, and the running back, I mean, they've got a legitimate running back. So, I mean, it's scary when you look at all the weapons they have simply because you know they're going to score some points. And the question is, can we score some points? And I think therein lies the problem.
I just wonder what happened to Atlanta after the Super Bowl. I mean, you saw that team, Matt Ryan, lighting it up, those wide receivers and the defense. They had a bunch of athletic players, and they were good. They were good.
Well, last year they got all blown up.
Yeah, everyone got hurt.
The entire defense is on IR.
And I think Deion Jones, the linebacker, is – I think Deion Jones, like to me, I think he's one of the most underrated players in the NFL.
Well, their defense –
he is a stud middle linebacker.
If you look at their entire defense individually – one by one, you'll fall in love with a bunch of those guys. I mean, they're like the safeties. They're now, you know, hurt. I think the one got a Achilles last week.
Keanu Neal from Florida.
Yeah, Neal, who is a big-time player, you know, gets blown up last week. So, you know, that's creates another issue for them, which has been their number one problem. I mean, getting hurt, especially on defense.
So I'm with you on that. Like, I just wonder, though, like, Dan Quinn had Kyle Shanahan as offensive coordinator, Richard Smith as his defensive coordinator. They go to the Super Bowl. He then loses both guys. And Atlanta's never been the same since. The year after the Super Bowl, they made it to the playoffs. They lost in the division round at the wire to Philly, who ended up winning the Super Bowl. So maybe the year after their Super Bowl, the Falcons still were a pretty decent team. Last year they were injured. This year they're 1-2, and it sounds like Quinn is on the hot seat there in Atlanta. And I understand why, only because, I mean, think of all the firepower they have on offense. They should be outscoring. They should be like the Rams in the 90s with the offensive firepower they have.
Well,
and they're not.
Yeah, I think the first couple of games here, I mean, I think the quarterback's thrown some interceptions. I think in one of the games, the second game they played, I think he threw three interceptions or something. So, you know, therein lies part of the problem. The scary part about, I mean, Julio is lacks nothing. Whatever he needs to do to get a catch, he can do. If he has to outrun you, he can do that.
Oh, there's no cover for Julio.
If he has to out-pattern you, he can do that. If he has to out-jump you, he can do that. If it's going to turn into a power game, he can do that. I mean, it just doesn't make any difference what you think you can take away, because whatever's left is good enough to beat you. And so, you know, you add that and then you throw in, you know, Ridley going over the top or Sanu underneath. And now, you know, it's a headache. And I don't, you know, I think they're like the number two passing offense in the league. And we're like the number three passing defense in the league. So, you know, something's got to give. And I think we'll hang in there pretty tough. I just don't know if we can score enough points to keep up with them. And that's what's scary.
Scoring points has not been a friend of the Titans.
No, it hasn't.
This season. And remember how I, you know, before the Cleveland game, I was like, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, yeah, they're whatever. Baker. I said, I feel good. Logan Ryan, Adoree Jackson, Malcolm Butler, I feel good about those three versus the three from Cleveland. Let me state for the record, I do not feel good about your three, Logan Ryan, Adoree Jackson, Malcolm Butler versus Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, and Calvin Ridley. And really, the one that bothers me is Jones. What's the matchup for Jones? And you can double him with Logan and Kevin Byard, and he'll still find a way to catch the ball.
There's a great shot last week where they're doubling him, short and deep. He lines up right in between him. Ryan throws the ball. He outjumps both defenders by about a foot and a half, goes up, gets the ball, comes down in between them, over. So, you know, you can double, you can do whatever you want, but he is darn near impossible to stop.
It was like they played Cincinnati a couple years ago, and we were talking about A.J. Green, and you said, there's nothing you can do on A.J. Green now. And they did a good job of keeping A.J. Green in check, and then A.J. ripped one off for about 70 yards and a touchdown, and the Bengals were right back in the game. Yeah. And Julio's the exact same way. I mean, every third and long, which the Titans don't get any pressure on anymore, every third and long, they're just going to throw it up to Julio. So either you sack the quarterback or they get it to Julio, and you're not going to be able to sack the quarterback.
And, yeah, the hard part is, you know, Ryan's not going to feel the pressure that maybe he felt in some of those other games, so it's... I don't know.
You know the play that changed the Super Bowl, the Dante Hightower sack, where he sacked Ryan and Ryan fumbled the ball. Hightower came on the blitz and Ryan, you know, got sacked and fumbled the ball. That if Ryan had had one more half a second, that's a touchdown and the Falcons win. Because I think it was Taylor Gabriel maybe was just running wide open down the field. And that's where Ryan was going with it. And if Ryan hits him, it's a touchdown. It's game over. Yeah. And at that point in Ryan wasn't missing throws. So that's a touchdown. And Dante Hightower hit him, strip sacked the ball, and the Patriots ended up winning the Super Bowl.
Biggest player of the Super Bowl.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN, 1025 the game. Jared the GM, Thursday night football tonight, Eagles and Packers. We'll get to that in a second. But as many people know, today is my 30th birthday on the air. And I'm not really like into birthdays or anything like that, but I do want to know what Floyd's advice to me is now that I have officially joined the ranks of the old.
Advice?
Uh-huh.
I don't know about advice, but I am wishing you a lot of luck. You're gonna need.
I don't get any advice.
You're gonna need a lot of luck.
Ian had a child, advice, and you gave him tons of advice.
Advice won't help you. You need luck.
I don't get advice. It's not going to help me.
Good fortune. You're not going to listen to my advice anyway.
Ian, you're over 30 years old.
Yes, I am.
What advice do you have for me about being old?
Well, I would just say take these next 5 years and enjoy them. Because once you hit 35, it goes downhill much quicker.
Are you already 35?
I am.
How old are you, Ian?
36.
36. Well, yeah, but you got a kid. You got grandkids. I got nothing. It's just me.
Yeah, so take these next 5 years. Enjoy them. You're still, you know, but once you hit 35, you'll start to notice things that, you know, hurt a little bit when you wake up for no reason or stuff like that. It really was 35 when I started to feel that for me. So... You still got 5 years, bro. You're good.
5 years. You're good.
Where were you when you were 30, Floyd?
30 years old?
Mm-hmm.
I was, let me think, 24 or 6. I was linebacker coach, special teams coach, strength coach, Minnesota Vikings.
Oh. So this was post-Belichick. So you guys were together in Detroit, and then you went to Minnesota. You're working for Bud Grant.
Yeah.
And you coached 17 different things, apparently, as
yes,
you
I
just
did.
Said over there. And you were in Minnesota for a long, long time.
I was in Minnesota for, I don't know, like maybe 7-8 years.
That's a long time in football.
Oh, NFL, that's a lifetime.
I mean, that's a long, long time. Thursday night football tonight. By the way, The whole like turning 30 thing, I definitely feel a lot older today than I did yesterday.
If you can tell her at 30, it's only downhill for you, my friend.
You know what I will say, though?
Because
I told Floyd this.
You got a long way to go.
I told Floyd this. I listened, like, when I was 23, I heard somebody in Boston on the radio say they wish that they had been more about their career or more about their social life, picking one or the other when they were in their 20s, and they weren't. They kind of did both, but they, you know, they just didn't focus in on either one. And I heard that and took it to heart, and I would like to think that I've focused a lot on both, and I feel really good about that. Like, I had a great 20s, and so I'm at least thankful for that. Thursday Night Football tonight, Packers versus the Eagles. I absolutely cannot, under any circumstances, have the Green Bay Packers win today and go to 4-0, because the two things Floyd Reese will get excited about, one is my utter disdain for Matt LaFleur, who I completely think is riding the coattails of his Mike Pettine-led defense
3-0.
And the bad teams they're playing, on top of the fact that his offense, this boy genius offensive coordinator, is doing nothing to score points, and they'll win today, and Floyd will say, oh, 4-0 for Matt LaFleur. What do you think about Matt LaFleur now?
Only rookie coach to have winning record.
And it'll drive me bananas.
And one.
And Floyd doesn't like Carson Wentz. So if Philadelphia loses today, it'll be more affirmation for Floyd's anti-Carson Wentz take. Now, I'm not pro-Carson Wentz or anti-Carson Wentz, but I'm kind of more anti, I think.
I just don't. I mean, Carson Wentz is fine. I have no problems with Carson Wentz. I just don't know if he can stay healthy.
At $32 million a year?
Yeah. I mean, he's the guy and the only guy left in the franchise, and I just worry about him from a health standpoint. But if he can hold up, he'd be fine.
I don't think you even love him as just a regular player.
Well, I mean, I think he's been fortunate. Let me put it that way. He's been in a good spot with some good players. And
good backup quarterback.
They've done a good job of, you know, when he goes down, they still find a way to win. And, you know, he's wearing a Super Bowl ring because of it. So more
and
power
to him. And he doesn't have Big Brother Nick to come in there and save his butt if he gets hurt. And so let's make our picks. Who wins tonight? Packers versus Eagles. We're both of us, I think this is a huge game. I mean, like, it's a fun game to watch on Thursday Night Football.
Oh, it's in Green Bay. So, I mean, it's hopping. You know that.
I'm going to take the Eagles only because I don't want to hear you tomorrow if Green Bay wins.
Got to take the pack. Got to go with Aaron Rodgers in the back. And
LaFleur. And your coach.
And LaFleur. Leading the undefeated, untied, only rookie coach to have won. So, I mean, we can say what we want, but you are what your record says you are.
He stinks.
You are what your record says you are.
He did not know how to coach last year here as offensive coordinator, and I cannot take it.
3-0.
I cannot take it.
Running his own program.
With a game ball.
From Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers presented him the game ball.
Terry Rubisky got a game ball last year. You don't give him any credit for that. We're out of here. Chase and TD. Calvin in for Chase. That's next. Jared and the GM.